Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, verses 23 through 32. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their calamity. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and they brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. For the Lord set out wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol the Lord and the congregation of the people and praise the Lord and the assembly of the elders. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Chapter 4, verses 35. This is probably a scripture that you're all familiar with, but we remind you when you hear a scripture that you've heard before, to listen to it with new ears, to hear what God has to say to you in these words. On that day when evening had come, he, that's Jesus, said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was almost ready to be swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come to this time of hearing your word proclaimed, give me the words you would have me say. May they be words that are pleasing to you and what you would have others hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This story today is one that's found in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. For those of you who may not know what that means, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's very similar in all three, and it's a short story, but it's early on in Mark. Mark is the gospel that's the most succinct. He doesn't use a lot of words. But there's been a lot happening. We're in chapter 4, and in the first three chapters, Jesus has been baptized, started his ministry, called his disciples, and has spent a lot of time teaching and preaching and healing and casting out demons and gathering those disciples around him who were with him this day. Our story tells us, as they were casting across the sea, that it was Jesus as he was. So that means he was probably preaching from the boat that day. The crowds had already started to gather to the point where it was almost impossible for him to preach on the land. So he'd be either, as with the Sermon on the Mount, up on a hill, but often on the water, because that's where he spent a lot of time. And several of his disciples were fishermen. So this may very well have been one of their boats. But it had been a long time of Jesus being so busy that he had to be exhausted. And so he said, "Let's go across the sea, away, where I can get some rest." Now the Sea of Galilee that they were on is a small sea, but it's in an unusual place. It's 700 feet below sea level. And it's surrounded by mountains. So what happened today is they went across the sea. Jesus was literally dead tired to where he was in the back sleeping. He was sleeping so soundly that as this storm came up, a storm that would not have been unusual on the Sea of Galilee because of the makeup, because with those mountains surrounding the sea, the cold air would have come down and hit that hot air that was over the sea, and it would create a storm, a vicious storm. Now, this boat they were in would not have been very big. It was a fishing boat, and in that day, it would have been probably around 27 feet long, but only about 7.5 feet wide and about 4 feet deep. So a boat out in that storm was in severe danger. Any boat out in that storm would have been in severe danger. But often these storms would come up so quick. If you knew a storm was coming, nowadays they would know it was coming because they'd have all those electronics that would tell them, but in that day they didn't know. They wouldn't know that cold air was getting ready to come over, and so they would be trapped. And I can imagine how many boats were lost at sea on the Sea of Galilee. These men, many of them that were with Jesus, had been fishermen, and they understood. They knew the danger they were in, and they were petrified. Perhaps they'd been in this situation before, but here was Jesus. This guy they were following, he was sound asleep. Can you imagine having slept through that storm? How many of you slept through the noise of the storm a few weeks ago? I know I did. I know the worst of it was in the middle of the night, and I didn't hear it. But that's different. There was not just wind. There was water coming all over, and yet he slept on. Finally, these men were so petrified that they woke him up. And as soon as he saw what had happened, he said, "Peace be still," and the storm was suddenly gone, and they were okay. And they were thankful. But Jesus looked at them, and what did he say? He said, "Do you still have no faith?" These men had been with them for weeks and weeks and weeks on a time, and they'd seen all he'd done. They'd seen the demons he'd cast out. He'd seen the lame men that he had let walk, the lepers that were healed. They'd heard his messages. In fact, the first part of this chapter was all the different parables he was telling. And yet they still had no faith that the man that they were with would keep them safe. What was amazing is it says in the last line that when he did this, they were amazed and they wondered who this person was that was able to calm the sea. Is that calming the sea so different than what they'd already experienced? What is the difference? We don't know why they said that. But we do know that they suddenly began to understand just who Jesus was. What was amazing was, in spite of the fact that they didn't have much faith, Jesus still healed them. He took them out of the danger they were in. Often when we heard the healing stories, he would say, "Your faith has made you whole." But in this story, we understand that that's not necessarily. He saved them in spite of their lack of faith. So what does that mean for us today? I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I was really struggling, and I'm not sure how much faith I had. And yet, it seemed like out of that came a peace. I was, as I often do when I'm working on a scripture, I did some centering prayer with it. And it was amazing to me some of the things that came to mind, things I hadn't even thought about in a very long time. Times when I could very well have made a bad decision, and yet I didn't. And I'm wondering, as I was doing the centering prayer around this, if that was Jesus' way of saying to me, "See, I was there with you. Your faith may not have been there, but I was." You know, we all go through difficult times. Sometimes we don't have much faith. But when we do, then that connection with Jesus is especially strong, and we can feel that connection. It makes it even better. I wonder if any of you have times that you can realize that Jesus was there for you in the time of a storm. When I was yesterday actually at Peace Cafe, or at Friends of Hope, when we were talking about me preaching today, several people said to me, maybe you should make it a day that the congregation participates and asks some stories. I'm not going to do that. Don't panic. I said, Christmas, when we ask for Christmas stories, we usually get a pretty good response, but something like this. But I do want to, for those of you that were at Diana Butler Bass last week, Diana challenged us to work on our faith stories, to remember our stories and to write them down. She said when she was working on the book that we were talking about, Freeing Jesus, because it is a lot of the autobiography of her faith, she had 7 notebooks and she thought about different things, and each notebook had a different. So I'm going to challenge you this day, because it's important for us to understand that part that Jesus plays in our life of giving us strength, helping us through difficult times, those storms in our life, for us to feel that presence, to understand it, and yes, to use it. I want you this week to think about that. Think about your faith stories. Try to remember some times in your life where Jesus was there, and write them down. Because as we begin to understand that part Jesus stays and pays in our life of lifting us up, we turn more to Jesus and we ask for Jesus' support, because we all need it. Especially as we get older, we find times that are particularly challenging. But you know, it's not just us as individuals that need to know Jesus' support in times of challenges. The church, not just this church, but yes, our church too, are going through challenging times. We look out in the pews, and this church that once had 1,400 members does not have that anymore. Our pews don't have a lot of people on Sunday, and yet this is still a vibrant church that does so much. Yesterday, we had 13 volunteers that help us feed 147 people down at Pinellas Hope. So this church is not dead. It's got a lot of life in it. But we also know that we need to work to find more people, to be able to do more of the work Jesus wants to do, because as we get older, it gets harder. The session has just went through a time with Project Regeneration, with the foundation, and the book we read was one that we had done as a church several years ago called The Sailboat Church. In that book, Joan talked about the fact we could either be a rowboat church or we could be a sailboat church. Most churches are both at times, and this one is also. But she challenged us to be more of a sailboat church, a church that depends on the word of Jesus Christ to guide us on where we need to go, what we need to do. Depend on prayer, to reach out to Jesus and say, where would you have us go? What would you have us do? You know, Pastor Don and I have started a time on Tuesday morning where we're encouraging people to join us. And that's exactly what we're wanting to do, is to listen to each other, to listen to you, to find out how you feel God is leading this church. Because it can't happen without you. It can't happen without Jesus. We need to have Jesus in the boat with us as we go forward. Because as we depend more on Jesus, we will have a better idea of where to go and how to do it. So this is my message to you this week from this story, is in your own lives, depend on Jesus. Spend more time in prayer. Go back through your lives and figure out where Jesus was most in them. And in the life of this church, pray for the church. If you can't be with us on Tuesday morning, you can pray anytime. Pray for guidance. Pray for direction. and pray for our dependence on the Lord and Savior, who gives us the strength and the knowledge of where to go. Thanks be to God. Amen.